Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
At the races with Steve Bick. Racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back. About 12 minutes into hour three, and we're just about, let's see, call it an hour and 45 minutes, give or take, from the second grade one for the steeplechase season at Saratoga, the Jonathan Sheppard New York Turf Riders Cup handicap, and we've got the star snap decision, obviously, as a favorite, and we do have a couple of interesting storylines, and we've got Bill Gallo to flesh them out. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are we doing?
We're good. We'll see you here later, obviously, and looking forward to seeing you, and looking forward to this race, because with Down Royal having upset the Smithwick, and certainly game of Kate and Bernie Dalton to come back. Based on what Kate told me down at Colonial, she wasn't necessarily eager to come back for this. But she's 9-2 and getting 21 pounds from the favorite. Talk a little bit about, you know, what you consider the main themes of this, including the first-time North American starter that was second weight and second choice, Song for Someone, for Leslie Young.
Yeah, I guess the main story is that it is a handicap, as you know. We run handicaps in grade one races in New York, both the Smithwick, Shepherd, and of course the Lonesome Glory at Belmont, or normally at Belmont. It's going to be at Aqueduct this fall. But being a handicap, I think you just hit the nail on the head, 21 pounds. It's going to be a matter of the weight. Certainly is going to be a factor. A big gap in the weights from 64 down to 40. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to level the playing field here the best we can before we go into the weight for age $250,000 race at Far Hills in October. So what's the incentive? The incentive for Kate Dalton, a couple of incentives for her. Number one, she won the first grade one at a low weight. She picks up a couple of pounds. She's going to get a bunch of weight. She is the horse is not only a mare, but a New York bred. So there's bonus money. Now, in the Daltons' case, it's a long way to come, but they struck gold once. Why not give it another shot? It's 1,000 miles. They train out of Camden, South Carolina. So it's quite a journey back and forth. And so let's hope, you know, give her, not that she needs much luck, but I think at the weight, she clearly has a fighting chance for sure. When you talk about the high weight, you're talking about an exceptional horse, not decisions. I think he followed his career. Came from, he's a hard-spun gelding. He's 8 years old now. He came from the Phipps barn. Shug McGee had him. Jack Fisher got him. And once he got him, he realized he had something special. This horse rattled off nine wins in a row over jumps. He looked invincible until he ran into the great, the Mean Queen, which is a phenomenal mare trained by Kerry Breon. I think everybody remembers her from last year. So that's really the storyline. Can Snap Decision carry the weight? He's carried weight in his past. In fact, when he raced here in 2020, he was carrying considerable weights. But however, those were novice races. This is in the open division, so the setting is a little bit different. I would think he would be up to the challenge. We've got the best male horse in the country over jumps, and we're going to see how he does in this Grade One race. So I'm really looking forward to it, and we'll see what happens.
Talk about beyond, obviously, the the two principles and the import as well. We've got, as I mentioned, the Song for Someone, and you mentioned, sent me a text. You mentioned that Historic Heart is going to scratch out of here. That was the other Kerry Breon. So cross out the eight. So we're left with a field of seven. I thought that Chief Justice had a little bit of a look potentially, at least underneath as well. Radician, Radician back for another try at Saratoga.
Yeah, I mean, you can't disregard Chief Justice. He ran his eyeballs about. He's only beaten the neck by Down Royal and the Smithwick. He comes back. There's a weight shift in his favor for sure. If he runs back to the same race, I think he should perform well. He's one of two trained by Cyril Murphy for Irv Naylor, and the other is Belfast Banter, who's an Irish-bred, raced in England. He came over, you can almost throw out his last race. His first race in America was at Great Meadow in May, and that was in Buckdeep, soft going, didn't like it a little bit, and well, was well beaten in kind of a strange race, which disqualified the winner. But anyway, if you throw that out, I don't know much about Belfast Banter other than he has a fairly impressive record over there. Chief Justice, once again, off the recent form, should be right there. They may be running for second, but I think several of the horses have a reasonable chance to win. The Leslie Young horse is certainly worth looking. He's a German bred. He raced in England. He hasn't run since March, but his jump record is sensational. He's got seven wins from 19 starts over jumps with 6 seconds and two-thirds. That's impressive, to say the least. 15 out of 19 in the money. The layoff is probably, I would think, is a concern. But knowing Leslie Young, she probably has him tuned up pretty good and ready to rock and roll. So, once again, interesting race. Weights play into it. The distance, we're going a little bit longer today. We shift later in the meet to the 2 3/8 miles, which starts on at the half-mile pole on the backside. You're going to jump one fence down the backside. You're going to jump, make the bend into the straight, and then they jump two in the front, two in the back. And they're going to jump nine fences in total. And once again, they run 5/8 of a mile from the last fence to the wire. So it's a kind of two races in one. You got to do the all the jumping, and then of course the speed kicks in, the fastest horse to the wire from 5/8 pole home. So I think Snap Decision has all of those abilities. He's a wonderful jumper, and he clearly has the platform. His last race was, for the listeners, this was on the flat. That was a mile and a half turf stake at Colonial. July 27, he ran a tremendous race. Had a little traffic trouble, in fact, and he only got beat a length and a half by Red Knight, who's a real nice horse on the flat. So he's got Snap Decision's got all the cards. Let's see if he can carry the weight.
The Jonathan Sheppard, New York Turf Writers Cup handicap, the grade one, the second of the two. We saw the results from Monday as well, Bill, at Colonial. Gave those out. That program continues on. And we'll have how many? We'll have, what, two more after this, the last two weeks?
Yeah, actually three weeks. We've got two more jump days and next Monday and the following Monday, and then we close it out on Labor Day with a two-mile, $50,000 flat race for jumpers that have horses that have, this is a very unique condition, and I'd be curious to see how it turns out, but horses that have competed over jumps at the Colonial meet and have not won a race. Interesting condition. Should be a good race, but two-miler. There's plenty of horses that are eligible now that have lost at Colonial over jumps that have some good, solid flat form. So we'll close it out with that on Labor Day.
That'll
looking
be fun.
To that as well.
I love it.
Yep.
Well, looking forward. I missed the Smithwick. Looking forward to being here for the Shepherd. We'll go out and watch it from the, you know, from the turf course. And Woodbury was by earlier. He says that the outer path is absolutely perfect over the you know, the fences. So it should be a terrific running. And Bill, I appreciate it. We'll see you out here shortly.
Thanks, Steve. Be right
always
on.
Great.
Thanks.
No, I appreciate it. Bill Gallo, everybody. And the next two visits, we'll have Seth Merrow shortly and able to sit down for a couple of minutes anyway with Terry Meeks from the Jockeys Guild. And Terry, good morning. I appreciate it.
Good morning, Steve.
I have been pestering you. I certainly have wanted you to, at the very least, react to what feels like an incredibly untoward approach when it comes to the jockeys, the rules that are being administered and put in place by HISA that, you know, have basically forced themselves on the riding community without really taking into account much of your input and the input that you were supposedly invited to offer.
Well, thanks, Steve. You know, first of all, we're not opposed to HISA.
Sure.
Number one, we think uniformity and having rules, uniform rules, are important for our industry. You know, we did have periods of time that we did our public comments back, and we started last October, November, you know, and it was just not about the riding crop. It's about the fines, you know, and suspensions and the point system. But it's, you know, the ambulances, the paramedics, you know, there's a lot of things that we thought went backwards. At some point, this is going to get worked out. And we wanted to get it worked out. But at the same time, I think it was for frustration, you know. And God forbid we not listen to our members throughout the country. You know, and the fines and penalties, the suspensions, you know, are so much different than the Saratoga jocks or the California jocks compared to Arizona, you know, New Mexico, Louisiana. And there was concerns. There was a number of concerns. So, which... But God forbid we didn't listen to them, or people getting upset for listening to our members, and I think it's unfortunate.
How do you sense, or how have you been approached about meaningful dialogue and any potential adjustment to the rules, or any, you know, anything that you would like to see, you and the constituents of among the riders want to see? Because it really feels like you've already been dismissed by this organization and by, you know, by the way in which they had Johnny involved. Johnny had a set of specifics that he offered, and they were completely ignored and not. They didn't have to adopt everything, but they essentially were just, you know, tabled and went unaddressed or unincorporated.
You know, again, it's unfortunate. And we've had dialogue with them. You know, we had Ann McGovern, you know, talking a year, last December at our annual meeting. We had Lisa Lazarus and Ann McGovern and Carl Medical in a very cordial meeting back in, you know, maybe the Tuesday after the, you know, maybe the second Tuesday after the Derby on a Zoom call. It was good. But again, raised concerns, and, you know, more came out, and, you know, that we brought up our concerns and issues, and we just felt we weren't being heard.
What's going to change? Is this basically now, codified?
You know, I've got confidence that we'll get it worked out somehow. You know, again, but I think it's unfortunate that, you know, that everybody wasn't listened to or take the time to be talked to and saying, you know, what about this, you know, the pros, and get respected people to talk to, you know, talk it through and do and come up with. We've got a lot of smart, talented people, you know, but, you know, on the backside, and, you know, that I'd give my life for and stuff like that, and respect. And I think they should come to the table and listen to Johnny Velasquez and Mike Smith, and, you know, about, you know, what they got at in their careers. They're at the end of their careers, and, you know, but again, I think we all got to remember what's best for the horse and the safety of the rider. And I think everybody wants to try to do what's safe for the best for the horse. But I don't really think that they want to really care about the safety of the riders. It says good in press releases and out there, but, you know, we've been dealing with this with racetracks and regulators for the last 15 years, and that's why the guild was formed in 1940. So, you know, I just think if they really want to care and do the right thing, you know, we want to work with them to help the industry. And I think, you know, it'll help the foal crop. You know, the foal crop's down 50%. You know, and I think the perception, and, you know, with the riding crop and the perception, we, you know, going back to 2008, the Jockey Club of all people approached me. It was Dan Fick, who was the Jockey Club, approached me about changing the poppers on the whips then. And two things out of that. One of the meetings we had was Chris McCarron and I went to the Jockey Club Safety Committee. Chris McCarron said, you know, if we got perception, you know, we should change it from calling it the whip to a riding crop. And it just hit me like, you know, if we wanted to change perception, you know, instead of whipping horses, we're using a riding crop for, you know, safety purposes and encouragement. You know, and everybody's still stuck on the whip and misuse of the whip. Well, until we change it and get, you know, we've also talked about using these riding. We got new. So, right then, 2008, we started working with Pro Kush, the European whips. Basically, the cuts and welts have gone away.
Yep.
You know, but we had it, and we said to the stewards, and we said to the racetracks and the TRA that basically we as an industry need to do a better job educating the general public that these crops are more equine friendly. The cuts and welts have gone away. Now, has there been some, you know, if the crop's worn out and stuff like that, or, you know, somebody, you know, try to do a make a look or make a similar product, and, you know, it's, but, you know, we're talking about trying to do new technology for the riding crops and making them equine friendly. But basically, 98% of the cuts and welts have been racing for the last 10 years have gone away.
The problem continues to be that, I mean, people just see that they see the implement, and, you know, you have the visual. Anecdotally, Terry Meeks is with us with Jockey Guild and Jockeys Guild, and you know, dealing with the imposition of restrictions on crop use that really wasn't decided with any meaningful input from the jocks. If there was one element of this, a specific of this, Terry, that you want the public to and the horse playing community to stakeholders to understand, what is the core individual item that you want to see change, and what has to be adjusted?
Jockey's well-being, for one. You know, it's the riding crop fines and penalties and suspension. There's a point system. There's a, you know, disqualification if you go over four times in a race. We'll say the Kentucky Derby. And if you, a jockey goes a three-year-old carrying 126 pounds, monoquarter, first time you ever gone that distance, jockeys will get caught up in the emotion, go four times over. Now, according to that rule, this rule, that horse will be disqualified the next day by the stewards. You think, and it'll affect the owner, the breeder, the trainer, and our industry. You know, that's one major thing that needs to be looked at. And again, it's happened, there's been disqualifications. There's been a couple of disqualifications, you know, in the works, but there's also one that, you know, in Charlestown, there's an owner who shipped in from the Carolinas. The jock probably wasn't aware of the ruling, went over it, over to 10, and he finished third, and it cost the owner $3,000. Now, is $3,000 a lot? I'm sure it's a lot for the owner coming, shipping in from South Carolina and running it at Charlestown, but there's others, been other disqualifications. But, you know, I just think the other thing is we wished that it could have been delayed somewhat, the process, and if we sit down for a day or two, we come to agreements. And I think, you know, and I think it would be the best thing for the industry, and I still believe that way.
At this time, we ask that you please rise and remove your cap.
Terry Meeks, everybody, and we got a little pause here for the national anthem, if you don't mind. There we go. Race day about to start. Terry Meeks has been with us from the Jockey Guild. And Terry, what has bothered me most, and I voiced this to you a couple different times, Monday. And I had Tom Rooney here and discussed things with Tom. The condescension directed toward the riders, specifically by Stewart on Sunday, with the surprise modifier when discussing people that are voicing legitimate concerns, people who are quite invested in the game and in its future, that is no way to build consensus. And that to me is what is problematic. It's just maddening that I mean, if you can't appreciate the people most likely to die over the course of a race day and their position and their involvement, then you really don't have the interests of the game truly at heart.
You know, what I'm disappointed is the people that I've had relationships with
your career.
During my 50 years or whatever it may be. But, you know, why are we at this point? You know, how do we get here instead of saying, you know, jam it down your throat or whatever it may be? But at the same time, we tried to do the right thing. We went through the public period. We responded to the Federal Trade Commission, our concerns. Which, and other, I wish people would have read our concerns before they made comments, statements, but they haven't, and that's unfortunate. But, you know, again, down the road, hopefully, you know, work out for the industry. But again, it's just, you know, whether it be the owners, the trainers, and, you know, the veterinarians and the farriers, everybody, you know, we got to do what, we all got to come together. And again, who the heck knows when it's going to be, but at some point, you know, this is, you know, going to be the law.
Yeah.
So we need to do what, we all got to come together and come up with what's best for our industry. That's all.
That's it. Terry Meeks, everybody, Jockey's Guild, always always a pleasure, and I'm glad I've been wanting to get this in for 5 weeks. So
thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
Not at all. There we go. Terry Meeks. Seth Merrow has arrived, and Todd Mostoller, who's got he's got horses running at Colonial. He's got horses running everywhere. Commonwealth New Era. How'd you do yesterday? Take the microphone. Take that. That's fine. Oh, you want the headset? I don't want to mess your hair up. It's hard to know whose hair would be more mussed by this, you or Seth. Pull that up a little higher. There you go.
How's that, Steve?
Oh, very perfect. Todd Mostoller, everybody, and of course the Pennsylvania HBPA, but more importantly for our purposes, Commonwealth New Era Racing. How'd that 2-year-old do yesterday?
She got out of the gate just fine out of the one hole and then proceeded to play hopscotch on the shadow of the rail.
Oh, did she jump?
She ran about a 3/8, and it's interesting to watch. She lost all kind of action, didn't know why, and then watched the head on and realized that the way the sun sets at Colonial, the turf rail there creates a shadow, and she decided it was time to play hopscotch. So
that's funny.
Yeah, it was. Listen, this game's tough enough, and you think you got a horse that has a shot, and then that happens. The crazy thing is we wager on these animals.
That's true. We've been known to do that, Seth Merrow sitting in too. Todd, we're talking about Time for an Angel, and then today's starter.
Balsara,
tell me about this one. Boy, you found yourself in some jackpot, right? Or is this in the selling race or the other one?
The fifth race, the maiden special weight with all the
with all the heavy heads,
all the blue bloods. Yeah, listen, she's a nice horse, as you know. Mike doesn't really
gear him up.
Yeah, so I mean, she has a lot of talent. Obviously, when I paid the kind of money we paid for a Klimt filly at the sale, we're hopeful she represents herself very well.
There's nothing wrong with the Klimts. They've been okay.
Yeah, well, as you know, Steve, I'm a physical guy, and I really don't care what that pedigree says.
Yep.
Actually, a perfect example is Havana Meltdown at Del Mar
last
week. I can't believe I couldn't get that horse bought. That dam was 1 for 25, and she broke her maiden in her last start at Charlestown for $5,000 by uncaptured, and I couldn't. I was the underbidder. Donato Lani and Baffert, when they bought the horse, were within 50 feet of me laughing because I just can't believe I couldn't get that horse bought. But that's the game.
That's the truth. There'll be plenty of opportunity coming up at Keeneland, and we had two terrific sales here, of course, and it is the competition is heavy and thick. So we've got a Pennsylvania Day at the Races coming up on Monday, right? And looking forward to that. Everything. What else is going on out your way?
Well, we're just all trying to work through the HISA thing. I know you were just talking to Terry a little bit about that. You know, we're always in the news when it comes to that. I think there's a lot of good things in there, but our biggest thing is a lot of it's been rubber stamped, and there's a lot of input from horsemen that has been ignored and rubber stamped. And we've been doing this a long time, and we know what our game is, and that input needs to be taken seriously. And I think Lisa in her latest interview indicated that there'll be a turn in that direction. If that happens, I think a lot of the problems will, you know, a lot of the differences will be solved.
We got the same kind of sense from Terry as well. I thought I had a very productive conversation with Tom Rooney on Monday that was very well received, and Tom very willing, frankly, to let me sound off a little bit, and he's in the unusual position of having to work through this, and at the same time, you know, he had concerns before he entered the industry, you know, in the capacity he's in now. So anyway, we're all trying to pull in the same direction, ultimately.
Yeah, and Steve, listen, I see it from all fronts. In my position as executive director, position with National HPPA as an owner, you know, there's a perfect example as I went to enter a horse the other day and have done everything right, and the HISA system flagged it in Encompass, and they wouldn't take my entry in the racing office.
What did it turn out to be?
They basically just overrode the system. But the point is, it wasn't ready for prime time with some of these things they're trying to do. And as horsemen, you know, we try to jump through those hoops and do everything right. You do everything right, and then your entry's denied simply because the system wasn't ready for prime time. And that's another issue that needs to be rectified. It's that simple.
Todd Mostoller, everybody, and Pennsylvania HBPA. Good luck today. Get lucky. And
can always use luck, Steve. Appreciate it.
I will talk to you later as well.
All right. Thank you.
Looking for a phone call from me. And and here, Slappy has landed.
Yeah, let me.
You want to go to that?
Yeah, let me.
That's fine. Go ahead. Switch over to the headset. Everybody, people like the headset, you know?
The loudspeaker going, it's easier to hear.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. You're right. You're right. Although I give them credit, they have turned down. It's not as blaring as it,
no,
as
you're
it
right.
was.
You're right.
It's gotten better.
I had Tom Rooney on over the weekend, and an SU guy. He played football at SU for a year and then moved on. But
He looks like he could still play football.
He does. Absolutely. You know, I pulled up a picture from Twitter. It was kind of interesting. He had been over at the museum and found his family's silks on one of the jockeys over kind of, not the the line across Union Avenue, but around the corner. And he said, I walked up and I saw the shamrock on there, and I thought, well, it's just kind of it. And then, sure enough, on the plaque, it was his farm.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, his family farm.
That's great. I love it.
Did you play the international during the show earlier, Baid? 10 for 10 now?
We did.
Yeah, very nice.
Because we had Kieran McLaughlin, whose Lahoudoud is the second dam.
Nice. Nice performance. But as they were coming down the stretch, you thought, is it going to be his day? And then he kicked into gear and over Mishriff.
Yeah.
Nice race.
Yeah.
10 for 10.
Yeah, no. We were speculating. Maybe they can draw some interest for them to come for Breeders' Cup.
Hopefully. That would be great. I mean, anytime you get a horse like that, and, you know, we showed it on the network on OTB TV this morning just because it's one of those horses, you know, internationally, particularly during Saratoga, those kind of things can float under the radar a little bit, but he's just been phenomenal.
The action leading up to the weekend, got the Alabama draw going on probably right now, and I haven't really, honestly, other than what we're doing, I have not looked ahead all that much. I will mention St. Louis Derby, $250,000,
yes,
St. Louis Derby, drawn for Saturday, and looking through this, they've made the
Rattle and roll,
yeah. Probably, yeah, 5-2 favorite, and Brian Hernandez will go to East St. Louis. Collinsville, 9-2 for one timer. The stretch out candidate from Ravelli and from Richie Raven.
At the former Fairmount. And I said on our handicapping show this morning, looking at the news over the weekend, summertime racing in America has been very good. Emerald had the big day the other day.
Talked about it.
Second biggest handle.
$3 million.
Yeah, it's crazy. And up just north of that, Assiniboia has been kind of popular, and folks have been watching that at night.
That's because it's fun to say Assiniboia.
It is fun to say Assiniboia.
It's fun to say Muckleshoot.
Now that I finally got Assiniboia right, because it took a while for that to happen. But the Del Mar, of course, having a great season, and Colonial Downs is having a good season, and right here at Saratoga. So it's been a good summer for racing.
The rest of that field, Hearn on the rail for Steve Asmussen, with Morales, Ray Lou on Brigadier General for Dallas Stewart, making a stake debut coming out of an allowance, just a narrow allowance beat. This is a mile and a 16th, by the way. St. Andrews, 10-1 for Mike Maker, and for Paradise Farms and Angelo Carlissimo. Strike Hard, the Matt Williams runner, 5-1, Louis Reyes. This one coming out of the carry back, another stretch out candidate. Rattle and roll is mentioned for Lucky Seven, and Kenny McPeak out of the Indiana Derby. Big Blue Line, 6-1 for Paul McGee and Silverton Hill. This is a Maryland bred by Atreides. Chileno shows up here for Asmussen out of the Iowa Derby, third with the Biscuit, 8-1. War Campaign, Jerry Namey, homebred for Phil Sims, and Corey Lannery. And this is an emergent horse, actually, that is developing rapidly. A second time start winner at Churchill, and then an allowance winner subsequently. War Campaign, that's a very attractive running line at 12-1. War Campaign. We're going to look, I'll take a look at the Declaration of War. Interesting to see what the figs look like on Thoroughgraph. Very interested in that horse at 12-1. One timer, as mentioned, Ravelli, the trap shot gelding, and stretching out from a turf sprint try in the My Frenchman. So there's your St. Louis Derby.
You mentioned Adam Biscuits. Anybody leaving here to ride out there? Any New York?
No, I think that was that would be no. That's a big no. No. Here you go. There's the, that's for you.
Thank you.
I'll give you that.
No, right. Ray Lou. Ray Lou on Brie. Not a New York guy, but a New York native guy.
Yes. Yes.
Joe Talamo, Corey Lannery. So there were some names there.
Today's Wednesday, not Thursday. Tomorrow. Low roller tomorrow.
Yes. All right. I'm in.
That's your thing.
First week I whiffed and just made a mistake in the last race, made a bad bet or I would have won. And I just was not doing anything. But last Sunday I came down to, I had a shot the last couple of races, but just couldn't make it happen.
All right, make it happen tomorrow. Meanwhile, let's take a look at today. Let's get some opinions. I got the scratches. I have already written this up. I have not put it on the website. So as soon as we're done, I do have our friends, Denny Ushak, Denny and his brother, and I think some others are coming. So I'm looking forward to Denny. And for those of you, again, in Shushan, if you haven't been, you want to go to Ushak's Market. There is nothing like it anywhere in the Capital District. The greatest meats out of this world.
Sounds good. I may have to swing up.
Well, you've had Ushak's through me as a conduit.
Okay.
Like
right.
like that tenderloin, the beef tenderloin last summer.
Excellent.
Right.
So I will give the thumbs up.
And the sausage.
Yes. Very good.
Ushak's Market.
Yeah, when you throw a bash, it's a bash.
Thank you. Yeah. We have the kids coming. You know, next week, by the way, let me also slip in another plug. For those of you that are going to be here Travers Week, what is the other activity, Travers Week, every year that is imperative?
Travers Week.
What do you have to do?
I don't know.
You got to come to the fair.
Oh, okay.
The Washington County Fair, with one of the oldest continuously run agricultural celebrations in the country.
I should have known.
In the country. Washington County. The county fair, you go straight out Route 29 through Schuylerville.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
Up the hill, and there's the fairgrounds. It is the best. It is. You want to see baby animals?
The 4-H kids out there,
oh my
with their
God.
Animals?
4-H, yes, but FFA.
Oh, okay.
FFA.
All right.
This is my farm news background, working for the Oneida Daily Dispatch, coming out the Future Farmers of America, for those of you in urban settings, the FFA. And you know what I've always
There's only a certain limited number of newspapers you could work at to get that background.
To get the FFA? Those jackets, you've never seen the FFA jackets?
I don't think.
They have corduroy and denim jackets that are dark blue. Corduroy is what you want. With that awesome logo from about 1912. It is...
Now I got to look it up
out
online.
Of the FFA, Future Farmers of America. God bless them.
All right.
You think horse racing is an anachronistic lifestyle? come live in Washington County. You and I had that funny getting stuck behind implements between
farm implements. Yes.
Holy cow!
You did it up your way, and a couple weeks later, I had it down my way.
Well, if you're a fan of kettle corn, and if you want to win a goldfish, this is your spot.
Speaking of goldfish, back years ago when I was a little kid at the country club that I eventually became a lifeguard at the swimming pool, but when I was a kid out in Amsterdam, you know, this was not a swanky country club, but it was a country club with a pool. And so one day they were having a party for the little kids at the pool, and they gave every kid a net, and then they put a bunch of goldfish in the swimming pool, and the game plan was to get a goldfish to take home. Yeah, goldfish and chlorine in the swimming pool. So it was like that WKRP episode with the Thanksgiving turkey. It was kind of a play on that.
Well, now you're going to make me tell a Procter & Gamble story. Procter & Gamble wanted Comet powder. Procter was going to have a promotion, and it was a goldfish giveaway. So they lined up, you know, those little comets, they're called comets, the little goldfish, and they had this whole system set up, and you buy a three-pack of Comet, and you get a Comet, and then they go to distribute them. And there's a problem when you put shipping units of goldfish into the cargo hold of airplanes. Forget it. They all arrived, and every goldfish was dead. It's a very famous incident. That's one of those marketing disasters.
Well,
that and the Oxydol Circus. You know Oxydol? Oxydol is a great brand name. I think that I don't see Oxydol anymore. The Oxydol Circus, they had this whole circus that was going to go around, and the centerpiece was a dancing bear, a roller skating bear. And the roller skating bear, like opening night, he falls and breaks his ankle. Now, the roller skating bear, who's the centerpiece for the whole circus, he's sidelined. He's on the shelf. He's on the DL.
There's no substitute for a skating bear.
You got a skating bear. Anyway, he doesn't get better than that, right? Oh, my God. Well, we're off the rails. All it takes is you showing up. I explained to everybody the other day.
I hear it all the time at the track. People love it.
Well, I explained to them my role with you is to make you laugh. There's nothing, right?
I'm about as easy as
you
gets.
Are. You're an easy mark.
Yes.
But I also asked people yesterday if they thought that we were a comedy team. Which would it be? And there's probably too many Stiller and Mira references for my liking, but I don't know which. I guess that makes me Mira, I think, actually. Who's more wisecracking?
Probably, yeah. I'm not as familiar with their...
Alan, what about Alan and Rossi?
I'm not that familiar with them. I mean, those are... We're going back to the old Ed Sullivan days there. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Am I older than you?
No. We've seen that be really successful. I mean, I remember Ed Sullivan Day, I'm saying. But I was a kid, so I don't think I was into Stiller and Mira or Martin and Rossi at the
Martin and Rossi were funny.
Yeah, no, I remember them. But I would...
And we're not Penn and Teller because I do give you a chance to speak now and then. So it's...
I'm always curious as to how that started with
their shtick with Penn and Teller.
Yeah.
Let's put pen to paper and come up with some plays.
Well,
come on.
I'm going to kick right off in the most appropriately named Jonathan Sheppard because I do like Down Royal in there with the feathery 143 as opposed to 164 for snap decision. I'm not going to argue it with anybody going to snap decision. I think the warm up in the the third and the flat stake last time I thought puts him in a really good spot. But I just thought coming out of the Smithwick maybe pairs him up with the 143. So Down Royal in the jump race. But the my dark horse play of the day today brought to you by the Dark Horse Mercantile in downtown Saratoga. Race 5, I have Socially Selective on top. By Spitzer this year, 54 first-time starters, 8 winners, 8 seconds, 3 thirds, really good numbers for him. A number of the siblings, one in their second career start, sibling called Dedicated, Cake Baby, another sibling called Initiative, one in the second career start, overall was 10 for 30. So Bill Mott, I looked up his numbers, he has slim numbers with 2-year-old sprinting first-time starters here at Saratoga over the past 3 years. The numbers aren't jumping off the page by any means, but we're getting 8-1. I'll take a little shot in the fifth with number one, Socially Selective.
Very good. Anything else?
I'll tell you, I think it's a tough card today. I mean, I thought there were a lot of races where they're just super competitive. Well, the seventh race is another main special where getting a little bit of a price with O'Donna, the four horse, 4-1, by Buchero, who maybe he'll float under the radar a little bit as a win-early type sire. On my stats, only 10 first-time starters this year, but 2 wins in 5 seconds. So 7 exacta finishes in 10 starts for first-time starters for the sire this year. We're 10.1 before the sale. There's a couple of siblings, again, who are kind of win-early. Lane's Knight won in the second start. Valiant Virtue was third, then won in the third career start. So I thought a little win-early top and bottom there for O'Donna. Irod Ortiz on board for the debut effort. So seventh race number 4, O'Donna at 4-1. Interesting to me. I have it 4, 6, 2, and 5.
I did not use O'Donna, and the returning Brad Cox, You Glow Girl, seemed pretty clear. Kelly Breen's got the second timer, Crypto Mama. Then I used that Amazon Barbie that scratched out of a spot yesterday to run today.
Is that a hunch bet?
Or the other day.
Is that a hunch bet for you?
A little bit. She's Derby Barbie.
Yeah, but Amazon Barbie, you're right in the same ballpark.
That's true.
I suppose.
That's true.
Although maybe that's insulting.
No, I don't think so. There have been some versions of Barbie she would not want me to repeat.
But again, I have it 4, 6, 2, and 5. I thought Red Hot Chick might be a little bit interesting as well at 8-1.
We're completely
yeah, and again, I think it's that kind of day. I think it's a tough card today.
I did not feel that way. I took some shots with a couple of other types, and for instance, I don't. You talk about weight, and we were focused more on the jump race when it comes to weight and 20-pound spread. But in the New York Stallion Series event...
Taking a shot against Dakota Gold?
No, but I don't think Dakota Gold has to win. I mean, I think 3-5 is right, but I won't be surprised if Marinara Sauce, or even that Shin Sun is within range. I mean, these state-sired races have had their share of quirky results, and these are fairly lightly raced for the most part. So,
Barrel of Quest would have been more interesting to me, except for the 10 post position. I was a little dicey there.
Well, there's a couple of horses that are big prices. Michelle Nevin, second timer. What about that second timer? Born Dancer at 15-1. Who knows what that horse is?
Yeah.
You have no way of knowing.
And I should say there's a couple scratches in there, so Barrel of Quest moves in a couple. The number 1 and number 7 are both out.
Yeah. I'll mention the DePaula play of the day, which ended up being funny. We don't have to worry about the off the turf. But I basically, if you watch the video, I said I like Brittany Russell because I like both of her horses. I ended up picking the 8-1 Dixie Cannon, but her other horse, Fun While It Lasted, stays in. I think would have been really, really live if the race had come off turf by chance. So I would use both Brittany Russells, but technically the DePaula play of the day is the 4 Dixie Cannon. I mentioned the 10-1 shot in the 6th, Emboite, the maker horse on the rail. So there's a bunch of options, and there's your Wednesday get together. At the Races, live from Saratoga, and a nice light crowd on a midweek Wednesday as we get ready for Alabama. Seth Merrow, everybody. Thanks also to Todd Mostoller, Pennsylvania HBPA, Terry Meeks, the Jockeys Guild, Frank Miramati, the Voice of America, Bill Gallo for the steeplechase set, Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale, and a fabulous hour, if you missed it, with Kieran McLaughlin, started us off with a couple of cameos from Mark Hennig and Gary Siaka. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. I will have the plays up specifically. I'll put up the selections right now, and then another 20 minutes, half hour, you'll have the plays added to them, all right? Good luck. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll be home tomorrow because I got the dentist and haircut. It doesn't stop. And then back here on Friday. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals. With a proven track